All right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. When I get done during the break, some lunch option sheets are available for you. So whichever you desire to do, there are some places that we kind of did it on a $5 scale. If it's a $5 one, they're all in one column. If you can get a meal for $5 or what have you, it's in one column. For $10, it's in another column. For $15, if you like to spend a lot of money. $20, we don't have that one. But if you like $15, it's there. And they are all of the places are straight down Route 70, and it's not far. There's one on there called Mod Pizza, which is great. That's not a plug. They didn't pay me. But it's the furthest one, so everything is closer to that, and that's not far either. They're all within, 10 minutes from here. Also, if I was just informed, the welcome staff let me know that there are some more hoagies left over. So if you desire to hang around, there are a few hoagies, unless you pray over them and Jesus multiplies them like he did. Then there's one tray. So if you want to get some of those, you absolutely can. If you just want to hang around here at the church, by all means, you are free to do that as well. All right, let's pray and then let's dig in. Father God in heaven, we thank you for another day that you've given us. We thank you for another opportunity that we have to study your word. You are great and mighty. Lord, I pray now that your word would continue to be cultivated today during this session. God, as we learn more of you and how you would have us to live, we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we are. My area to cover is the spirit of truth and of error. And we're dealing with 1 John chapter 3, verses 24 through chapter 4, verse 6. You all may remember yesterday I had you repeat after me and say, because I know, I do. That is very, very key, especially because we've been talking about how this is about the subject here. Really here is John is dealing with his fellowship. And so because we know God, the text reveals to us that we can know if something is right or wrong or truth from error. I really appreciate the talk that was done first, how it reminded us how our spirits have been saved. Amen. And Paul tells us how his members do the sinning, if you will. And so here we are. We're looking at the spirit of truth and of error. So there's a couple things I want to look at here as we go through this. So what do you see? Some people see a vase. Some people see two people. All right. It's kind of one of those optical illusions, if you will. Neither one of them is wrong. It just depends on what you see. Here's another one. Is it moving? Is it stationary? Yeah, most people say it's stationary. There's some people that say it's moving. I tend to look at it and say, how? But, I mean, you know, I guess I'm a right brain or something. I don't know. I saved the best one for last. Whenever people see this, people usually see this and they start arguing. It's a rabbit. No, it's not. It's a duck. Look over there. It's a drabbit. It's a drabbit. Exactly. Exactly. Look, all of these are illusions. And some would say, well, if you see a duck, you're wrong. If you see a rabbit, you're wrong. If you said it was moving or you said it was stationary, you're wrong. Well, or the first one, if you saw a vase and you saw two people, you would say wrong. And there are numerous of these that we could look at. But there is a way that we can tell that Scripture shows us that as believers, we can tell if something is the spirit of truth or the spirit of error, which is very, very important. We talked about yesterday how there are antichrists, how John deals with in the second chapter, actually the area that I was dealing with yesterday, that how many have come in that have come from within and have tried to turn those who already know the truth from the beginning. We have to be firm in knowing when we know what's right. All right. Some people would say you got to get it down in your knower, if you will, that you know that a thing is right. When you know something is right, we should stand on what we know is right. Amen. We should stand on that. So let's begin to dive into the text, and that we can look at the, how God's indwelling is affirmed. Chapter 3, the last verse of chapter 3 of 1 John, it reads this way, and I'm reading out of New King James. It says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know," by this we what?
No.
"We know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." Now, it's wonderful to see that when you catch the capital H's there, because that's not us. Amen. That's the Lord. It says, "Now he who keeps his commandments," that's when we keep his, God's commandments, "abide in him," God, "and he," God, "in him," which is us. "And by this we know that he," God, "abides in us by the Spirit whom he," God, "has given us." So this is God's, I think Dr. Hodges called it the reciprocal relationship. All right. This reciprocal relationship is an integral part of our Lord's doctrine of abiding. If a Christian is abiding in Christ, then I look at that. I didn't proofread my stuff. If a Christian is abiding in Christ, then Christ is also abiding in that Christian. If a Christian is abiding in Christ, Christ is also abiding in Christian. In other words, the obedient believer has God making his home in him. That the Lord is abiding in us, that God is in us. God is with us. It really calls to mind when Jesus even says at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "I will be with you always, even until the end of the age, even to the end of the world." This is ultimate fellowship. This is ultimate fellowship. I'm going to use bad English when I say this. It don't get no better. The fact that God is not, he's not from some, he's, God is not in a faraway place that we need to call him to come from to be with us. No, the Bible says that he abides with us, our ultimate place of fellowship. Here it is, John 14 and 23 in the Gospel of John. Jesus answered and said to him, this is when Judas, not Iscariot, is asking a question. He says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Now, if I love God, I'm going to do what he says, right? Because I love him, not to earn his love, but because I love him, I'm going to keep his word. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Because we already have the Spirit, we can move in the Spirit. We can do what God wants us to do by the Spirit of God, because he is living on the inside of us. I hope I keep hitting this microphone, so I hope it just doesn't come up bad on the recording. All right. So abides in us by his Spirit, where earlier it talked about the anointing and how that's, we have Christ. Because we have Christ, the Lord again expects us to, because we love him, we walk in him. Because we love him, we follow his commandments. Again, it's not so that he can abide. It's so that, because we know he is with us. Amen. All right. Let's go a little further. So God's Spirit can be recognized. So let's look at this a little more. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Notice it does not say "do not believe every person." It says "do not believe every spirit, but test the" what? "The spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There is something I remember growing up. You may remember the show Ripley's Believe It or Not. Ripley's Believe It or Not had a segment on it called Spot the Knot. And they would have these different things up there, and you would have to say, I mean, you'd have to, but they would show this, and it would be something that's pretty much unbelievable, and it would be something else that's unbelievable, and something else. And they would say, well, spot which one is not true. And then you sat at home and said, well, you know, I think it's B. And then they would come in and say, no, it's actually C. And this is real, and this one's not, and this is how it's not real. For you and I, because God's Spirit is in us, we can recognize the Spirit of God. Because it's in us. Now, it would be interesting it would be impossible, rather, to try to recognize God's Spirit if God's Spirit wasn't in us. Because I wouldn't know what to look for. But because His Spirit is on the inside of me, His Spirit is on the inside of us that are believers, we can recognize the Spirit of God. All right. There is more than one Spirit at work. There is more than one Spirit. And so John gives this warning. There is more than one Spirit at work in the world. He says false prophets have already gone into the world. False prophets are moving and attempting to sharpen folks and sway them away, that they think you already don't know the truth. But First John chapter 1 talks about how we learned it in the beginning. And if we got it in the beginning, embrace it and enjoy what you know. Here is an example. It would be foolish if you go to elementary school and you learn 2 + 2 = 4. You all through elementary school, you know the same thing. In middle school and in college, you have the same thing. But when you get to college, middle school and high school, you know the same thing. When you get to college, you have a professor that tells you 2 + 2 = 7. And some would do just what Bob did. They would laugh and say, no, it's not. 2 + 2 = 4. You know, and then there are others that will say, wow, that's deep. Take notes and begin to follow that. That's what the false prophets were trying to do, trying to take you away from the truth. When you know it's true, you stand on what's true. And he says there are many of them that have come. It's not just one or two of them. There are many of them. He's even said that some of them were with us. And now we've seen later on that they've started teaching things that are not in line with the truth. So there is more than one Spirit at work. And God is not telling us to test people. He says, test every spirit. Test every spirit. Many false prophets have gone out into the world already. The text says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, would suggest there's more than one at work, right? But test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. So with my abiding in Christ and Christ dwelling on the inside of me, that my responsibility is to test those spirits to know if they are of God. That's it. When it comes up, well, I need to see, okay, is this spirit, is this of God? Is this a spirit of truth or is this a spirit of error? Well, how do I know the difference? It's a wonderful thing. Let's just keep reading the text. So the text gives us a point of comparison. Here we go. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Here it is. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
Yeah, Lord. That works.
Need it some more? Sorry, that's it. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So I'm looking and I'm seeking those. I'm seeking the spirit that's going to say and to confess the fact that Jesus is. Come, that Jesus has come, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. So now that's what I'm looking for. When I see that, when I hear that, I know that's the spirit, that is a spirit of truth. So when I know the truth, if God is true, then everything else has to be false. So if I know that the 49ers are the best team in the NFL and nobody can beat them, I have the microphone so I can say what I want. Kente Kentucky was the best the other day. If I know that that's the truth and somebody else comes and tell me, no, it's not, it's the Steelers, it's the Eagles and whoever else, then I can say, that's not of God. I'm kidding. But if this is what's said, then that's how I know. The text says, this is how you know. This is how you know. When this happens, that's of God. Well, let's go a little further. What is the comparison? What does the text say about the comparison? All right, let's look at verse 3. It says, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Spot the not. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. Remember, he gave us a warning. He gave us a warning. He's coming. We're in the text we looked at last night. We're in the last hour. Now, those of us, we can attest that we were here last night and we're here now. We know, okay, he didn't come last night. That's all we know. But we're in the last hour. He says, you have heard what's coming and is now already in the world. So this is not something that you look forward and say, well, that spirit is coming, or the spirit of error is coming. But it's really, no, it's already here. This is already happening. Now, you and I can attest to the fact that we know individuals, have heard individuals say, Jesus is not God. We've heard it. And then we know, now most of us know, because we know, here it is again, 2 + 2 = 4, and somebody says 2 + 2 = 7, we say, okay, in Greek they would call that hogwash. And simple as that. And we and the old saying, don't argue with the fool, because people walking by won't know who the fool is. So now if the thought is to say something other than what is the spirit of truth, the Bible tells us when someone does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, if they're not confessing that, that's the spirit of error. Here it is on our slide. Do not, there's one point of comparison for the spirit of truth. There's three. Do not confess that Jesus Christ has come. Point two, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Point three, you were warned about this. In other words, you shouldn't be surprised when you hear this. And you shouldn't get up in arms when you hear this. This is going to happen. That's what he's saying to all of those that he's writing this letter to. This is going to happen. And even at that time when he wrote it, this is happening. Because in that day, he said, we're in the last hour. All right. Verse 5 says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak. They are of the world. Therefore, I love the word therefore, because you always got to go back and see what therefore is there for. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Yeah. So if I know something is true, I don't waste time following error. When I know it's true, remember, you heard it from the beginning, based on forgiveness or based on the foundation, and we looked at it last night. But when I know it's true, I don't wallow, if you will, in what's in the spirit of error. Let's keep going. Verse 6 says, so verse 5 says, well, the spirit of error, they are the world. They're going to speak as of the world. They're going to say the same thing the world says, and the world's willing to hear them. The world wants to hear that. Verse 6, we are of God. So there's a difference now. The world wants to hear. The world's willing to hear, wants to hear, is ready to hear. But we're of God. So there must be something different between those of the world and those of us that are not of the world. Well, what do you mean, John? Okay. He who knows God hears us. He who knows God. Let me go back to my text. I'm thinking tight and wrong. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. Those of us who know God. He who is not of God does not hear us. Let me try it one more time. We are of God. He, the individual who knows God, hears us. Everybody in the room. We know God. We're excited. We're ready to hear about God, right? Well, on the flip side, he who is not of God, those who don't want this conference, those who don't want to read the word, those who don't want to study God, those he who is not of God does not hear us, doesn't want to hear us. Why? Because verse 5 told us they want to hear what the world says. They want to hear the spirit of error, not the spirit of truth. You and I agree so staunchly when we hear something that's right because we know it's right. And when we hear something that's of error, we're like, I don't know about that. Okay. All right. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By what? First of all, what the spirit is saying. That's how we know. And then secondly, okay, well, those of us who know God, when we are speaking truth, if they don't want to hear us, now we know, okay, well, all right, now I know what I'm dealing with. I know what I'm dealing with. So for me as a believer, to know the difference, the point of comparison between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is what's being said. Okay, and we know that the spirit of truth, excuse me, and we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this is how we'll know it. The fact that when we remember that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Okay, so because we are of God and the greater one is on the inside of us, he's greater than the one that's in the world. So for us, it's not for us to be swayed by the error, but it's for us to sharpen the error with the truth. That is our responsibility. It really goes to show when you know what's right, you do what's right. When you know the truth, you stand on the truth. When it's an error, okay, now I know that's an error. But the one thing I shouldn't do when I recognize this is lose fellowship with the person because of the spirit of error. Watch this. Because my responsibility as a believer is to help those that are in error get to the truth. Because if I understand that that's the spirit of error is dwelling there. Okay. So I need to then go and say, all right, well, let's walk this out because I want to help you get to this foundation as well so that you can have, here it is, a new beginning. Because if you have this new beginning, now you can grow from there and you're built on the truth and not built on error. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and still lose his soul? Well, a whole lot of people are looking for the whole world, not concerned about their souls. You and I understand that it's not about worldly things, but it's about knowing Christ. And because we know Christ, we must help those that are focused on the worldly things to get focused on eternal things.
That's right.
Last night, I'm going to say the quote again and I'm finished. That the fact that if we focus on time, we miss out on eternity, on the benefits and blessings and grandeur of eternity. But if we focus on eternity, we get time thrown in for free. So the beauty of it is this. When we know something is of truth, when we know it's the spirit of truth, keep on driving. When we know it's the spirit of error, help those that are in error find the truth so that we can walk together in knowing Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your love and for your grace. Thank you for showing us how we can know and tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God, help us to do this in our daily living. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.